chapter 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, a lot of people would have a rough time believing that. But God's in control of his creation. He either his causative will or his permissive will, but nothing happens against the will of God. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of Baptists, Armenians, they don't believe it. But God is in control of his creation. There are those that believe that God started it and withdrew from it and never has anything to do with it. But that's not true. He's very much involved in his creation. He's not a part of his creation, but he's very much involved in his creation. He is the God of providence. And that means he is controlling his creation. Nobody has gotten bigger than God. Nobody can thwart God's will. We may not understand how it's all panning out, but believe me, the wrath of man shall praise him, and the remainder thou shalt restrain. So when it's all said and done, I don't know that I'm ready to explain every ramification of this. But when it's all said and done, everything will have been worked according to the counsel of his will.
Amen.
So, well, this sounds like you may be a supralapsarian Calvinist. Could be. I'm not an infra, and I'm not a sub. Anyway, that's deep stuff. I believe God works his will. Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar came to?
Amen.
I mean, after how many years was he like an animal?
7 years.
Perfect time, wasn't it? He said, he doeth according to his will, and the armies of heaven and on earth. So, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. How's that for an introduction to that? As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Example after example in the Bible of God controlling heathen kings. It says plainly, he raised up Pharaoh for that very purpose, to show his power. He said, well, great man. Well, he was at the time. He was the most powerful king on earth. But God raised him up just to show his power. So, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Need to think about that. Well, they're all bad. Yeah, we are. every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Well, I did it the right way. You better wait and see. Paul said, judge nothing before the day. Who's going to judge? The sovereign judge is going to judge. And he'll tell you whether it was good or evil. Right or wrong. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. He knows. to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, we saw that in 1 Samuel with Saul's dealings. And when he told Saul to go and get the heathen king and wipe them all out, Saul said, "I've obeyed the Lord." Samuel said, "What's the meaning of the bleating of the sheep that I hear?" "Oh, well, now the people, they say Agag, Agag alive, and they kept all the good of the stuff to make sacrifice to you. The people did the bad stuff. I did the good stuff." That's what he said. Every way of a man's right in his own eyes. But through Samuel, the Lord said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice."
Amen.
"To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Justice and judgment. Justice is according to the law of God. Judgment, proper judgments before God. And high look and a proud heart. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look is sin. A proud heart is sin. But then the plowing of the wicked is sin. Well, now there can't be anything wrong with plowing, is there? Not of itself. But the plowing of the wicked is sin. Because they're not plowing with awe and reverence and honor to the Lord for plowing and being able to plow and having something to plow. Because the wicked says, "I'm doing this on my own. There ain't no God." So something as neutral as plowing a field, if it's not done with the knowledge of God, fearing God, in awe of God, worship of God, it's sin. So, man, if that's sin, what about them? Is there anything of a wicked, of a unregenerate person that's not sin? Doesn't appear. At least for their part. I think maybe they might do some things that'd be right for somebody else, but even for their part, it won't amount to anything before God. I think I've still got it somewhere. A book by Roussas, J. Rustuni. Y'all remember that name? That's his name. He's a good writer. Got a book, The Politics of Guilt and Pity. And he's a believer in the doctrine of grace, sovereign of God. He says, ultimately, all of the works of charity that lost people do, they don't do it for the love of God and even for the love of people. They do it out of guilt and pity.
Amen.
Good book. He hit right on it. So, a high look. Don't walk around your nose raised up in the air, looking down your nose at everybody. It's a sin against God. Don't have a proud heart. Who had a proud heart? Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not like this publican. I do all this stuff. Don't have that kind of heart. That's a sinful heart. That's a sinful look. That's a sinful heart. But you don't have to go to that extreme. Just go to the field. And there's a man out there plowing. You a child of God? No. Really? Then you might be committing sin right now. They don't expect that, do they? The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Now that's old English. All right. A person who is diligent. Now you listen to all this now. You're running out of here. A person who is diligent. That means they're doing something. They're busy. They're working. And it tends only to increasing, plenteousness, having something. But of everyone that is hasty, only to lacking. Not the opposite of diligent. Diligent is hard working. Diligent is the nose to the grindstone. Diligent is sticking with the stuff every day. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. They're hasty, they're not diligent. They're the opposite of it. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Well. That sounds pretty serious to me. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue. Well, by your lies, getting treasure. And what is that? It's an emptiness. It's tossed to and fro of them that seek death. What kind of a pathway are they on? Well, every day, if you've got a phone, you get calls from people who are trying to hoodwink you. We've been trying to reach you. Your warranty on your automobile is about to expire. Anybody get those calls? What they're trying to do is set you up to steal from you. And that would be the getting of treasures by a lying tongue. There's many other ways they do it. I even had a preacher to put me on to something. I was skeptical to start with. Said, have you ever gotten any money from this organization? No. Oh, you can get up to $60,000 from it. You got to talk to these people. Well, all right. And this woman calls and she starts saying, I need you to fill out this. And then it says Social Security number. I said, And they both bugged me for a long time about that. There ain't no organization out there that's going to give me $60,000 cash. Do you know of one? And I knew it was a sham when I heard them, when they asked me for my Social Security number. Out of your cotton picking mind, go, this is supposed to be a preacher friend. Anyway. Well, that treasure hunt will end in death of the one doing the treasure hunt. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. What they're doing is going to destroy them. Say, well, a lot of places, cops not even arresting them, not even charging them, sending them to jail. I understand that. As you got a bunch, I don't know what you call them, that are running courts and mayors and governors. A governor of California just turned loose a mass murderer. Pulled him out of prison, turned him loose. But because these, if they're not demons or inspired by demons, don't recognize sin and crime, God does. And you see, they won't live long doing what they're doing. They may make a few people miserable, but their ultimate end is maybe even a violent death and then hell for eternity. Because they refuse to do judgment, to do right. The way of man is forward and strange. Now that's natural man. And our natural selves. Forward is away from God. And strange, that's away from God. But as for the pure, if you're pure, it's only because you've been made righteous in Christ Jesus. His work is right in the Lord, what he does in the Lord, or she. Sorry, girls. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. A wide house would be a big one. I'd say you could turn that around and put a man in there too. Just the opposite. But it'd be better to be in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Well, if it's a brawling woman or it's a brawling man, you're not going to get away from them. If you can get out of sight of them, you might, they're going to follow you from room to room. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. The innermost part of a wicked person desires evil. And you know, we've got a system not working well at all where they put people away for life. That's not scriptural. You know that? The only jail that you find in the Old Testament under the law of Moses is ward. Put them in ward, that's a holdover, until they can be tried and proven without a doubt innocent or guilty. If they were guilty, they were beaten, whipped, and then made to pay back with interest the damages they had done to someone. And if they'd murdered or raped someone, then they were executed, not 20 years later. You talk about a farce, is our prison system. They put somebody on death row, and then they're all death row, up to 30 years. And then some bleeding heart, liberal, mostly Democrat, will get them out of jail, or get them to cancel out death penalty. And then they'll be resentenced, and then could be even paroled, depends on what they do. And of course, they all lie to you and tell you that criminals dread, they fear that life without parole. But you watch every one of them. They'll make any kind of agreement to spill the beans on anybody if they get the death penalty taken off the docket. If they get rid of the death penalty and get them a life without parole, then that lawyer says he's done his job. Because they want the life without parole rather than death. So these liberals, politicians, lie to you constantly. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Meaning that he's desiring evil so bad, he's going to work it on whoever he can. There's nobody sacred to him. That's like a drug head. They'll steal from you. They'll steal from their mama. They'll steal from their daddy. They'll steal from their church. They'll steal from anybody. And they'll do anything to get their drug money. Drugs are bad stuff. It's demonism. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now you see, you don't have to be punished. You can be instructed. You can be smart enough to listen to what God has to say without being punished. Amen. Not many people do it. But when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Paul said in the epistles, pastoral epistles, he says, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. You see, right now, if anybody receives a death sentence, you know, shoot up some drugs in them, and they, You see, I couldn't care less how much they suffer. Do you think they considered when they were raping and murdering that woman or that girl, what, or that child, what they experienced? Or they took a knife and stabbed them 60 times? You think they had any thought at all about their victims? God doesn't tell me to be concerned about how they feel. Not at all. Matter of fact, according to the Bible, I mean, stoning was pretty tough. He said, well, God wouldn't want... What are you talking about? That's what's in His Word. Quit talking about God if you ain't going to tell the truth about Him. It's like that so-called Baptist church. I've talked about their big sign out front. Just out of the clear blue, nothing else on it. God loves you. They don't know any such thing. God only loves in Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, our God is a consuming fire. Won't they tell the truth about it? Well, so them, Brother Brown used to say on that verse, those that sin, rebuke before all. The understanding is, those that sin before all, rebuke before all. That makes others sit up and take notice. Maybe I ought not to go that same route. That's what he's saying here. But when the wise are instructed, they receive knowledge. They'll learn something. The righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The righteous man wisely. So you ain't need some wisdom? Here's some wisdom. A righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. You see it all over. There's some houses around there ain't nothing but wickedness goes on in them and comes out from them. People dying of drug overdoses. Murders. The house of the wicked. But now, I remember some houses. We had a quiet neighborhood. But whiskey was a part of the house. The man and the woman, he had a good job and worked every day. But they kept half pints of whiskey up in their cabinets. They never had a day that they didn't start it off. I knew of another in the same neighborhood. Nobody ever saw him drunk because nobody ever saw him sober. He never was sober. When I got out of the Navy, he was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. I held the bucket for him to puke his blood up. The last I saw him, they had a catcher's mask on him. And all these tubes running down his nose and down his throat. And on the end of those tubes was balloons. And they were blowing them balloons up all over him, trying to stop the blood. Trying to put pressure on him. I don't know why they did all that, because he just bled to death. That whiskey ate his liver up. The righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. He says, I don't want that stuff in my house. I don't want anybody in my house with that stuff. I don't want illegal drugs in my house. And I don't want anybody in my house with illegal drugs. Even if they're taking them, I don't even want them in there temporarily. I don't want to turn my house into a house of wickedness. As for me and my house, as Joshua well said a long time ago, we will serve the Lord. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. It's not going to have a pretty ending. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all of His saints. Doesn't it say that? The death of a saint of God is not weird. It's blessed. Somebody left a testimony of serving the Lord. That's a time of blessedness, buddy. And when you preach that funeral, you can shout and rejoice. But now when they're wicked, it's weird. It's bad. It's terrible. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Now there are some people that make themselves poor. By being so stinking armory, they won't go to work. And the Bible tells us what to do about that. Thessalonians, he says, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. And don't make excuses for him. Did you see that little fella? Well, it probably wasn't little, but he didn't have any legs. Working at a tire place. Mounting tires. Hopping along on his stub, no legs at all. Hopping along on his hands. Working his head off. Getting something done. Well, I don't feel like working. Whoever said you have to feel good to work? Where did that say that? Huh? Where did that say that? Well, I ain't going to work if I've got a pain. Well, you may not ever go to work then. Am I telling the truth or not? People that work, they're not working because they just feel so great and don't have any pain. But then there are some people that are in bad shape mentally and physically, and they're poor. You hear a woman say, let them get it like I do. Well, that's kind of cold, isn't it? If I can help out somebody, I'm going to help them out. I don't want to be taken advantage of, neither you, by somebody that, I don't know about those people that stand at the intersection, has got the card, homeless, anything will help. If I could stand there like they do all day long, I'd have a job. I think they've got a racket going. I'm pretty sure they do. But there are people that are poor and can't help, especially older folks, widows, young ladies with lots of kids. Let her go to work. She got 5 or 6 kids, 7 or 8. How are you going to go to work? How are you going to go get a job? What's going to happen to your kids? You're doing what you're called of God to do, stay home and taking care of them. And your husband's out working. You have to travel to work. I don't care if he's got to work 3 jobs. Don't tell me that you can't make it. You can make it. Get off your butt and do something. God has no reason or no excuse for laziness. But whoso stops his ears at the cry of the poor, remember this, he also shall cry himself. You're going to have a time. Sometime you're going to have a time, but he shall not be heard. It's going to come back to you just like you're giving it. Well, the Bible say, cast your bread on the waters, and after many days it'll return unto you. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Well, sometimes a gift helps. Pacified means to turns it into peace. Pacified, peacifies. The Pacific Ocean, because it's most time peaceful. It's Pacific. Specific, and you talk about something definite. Pacific, if people say, talk about specific, it says Pacific. No, that's the ocean. Specific is something definite you're talking about. But a gift in secret pacifieth anger. Sometimes, here, honey, I bought you. And a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. Turn away wrath. Not all the time, but sometimes. It is a joy to the just to do judgment. Well, if you're just, that would be that you're justified in Christ. Justified by faith. It's a joy to you to do judgment. Judgment before God. Do what's right before God. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You see people working iniquity? Don't envy them. And don't mimic them. Avoid them. Because they shall be destroyed by God. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. In other words, there's only two places. In your life, my life, there's only two places. I don't care what city, what state, what country. There's only two places. The way of understanding or the congregation of the dead. And if you wander out of the way of understanding, you'll remain in the congregation. Well, I saw them over there, but I just went on by. You'll remain in the congregation of the dead. And that dead goes all the way through to the second death. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Well, it's not wrong to enjoy some aspects of life. It's not wrong at all. But if that's what you're about, and I know people, if that's what they're about, whatever comes, they're going to do what's fun. Everything in life isn't fun. Every time you get up and you got to be at work, it ain't necessarily fun. But you go on and do it. You mothers got babies. Get up in the middle of the night. Have to take care of that baby. Then you go back and get 10 more minutes of sleep. You got to get up and take care of the other kids. That's not necessarily fun, is it? You ladies have done that. It's not necessarily fun. And you don't necessarily feel like doing it all the time. But you do it. because it's what you must do. That's where you are. That's what God has given you to do. But he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. On one of those shows, car building shows, fella had a 68 split window Corvette, supposed to be a top notch. And he had that car for, 40 years. And the guy went by to see if he could buy it. Guess what? He bought it. The guy said, they're about to take my house away. I've got to have some money. He'd been loving pleasure too much. He done got down where he's about to lose his home. He that loveth pleasure. Nothing wrong with it. It doesn't say you can't have any pleasure. But you can't have your life dedicated to pleasure. And he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. It'll all go for that. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. You go through the prophets, major and minor prophets, and you'll find out where God makes the wicked come to the feet of the righteous. And that's what he's talking about. Sorry, girls. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Hey, it's there twice, and I'm going to add my little 2 cents there, that you could reverse that, a contentious and an angry man. Well, how do you get along with somebody that is contentious and angry all the time? How do you get along with them? You can't get along with them. They ain't going to let you get along with them. Anything you say is going to be wrong. Because that's what they've got on their heart and their mind. They're mad at the world and everything and everybody in it. And you especially. Whether it be male or female. And there's no getting along with them. There's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Now, if your desire is to get rich, you ought to check that. But if all you want to do is make a decent living for you and your family and put a little something away that you've got something at an emergency and things hit you and you be able to handle it, I think that's wise. I know it is. The children of this generation are wiser in their generation than the children of God, because children of God are foolish with their money. And lost people sometimes, they're wise with it. You got to be wise with your money, folks. I don't care how much you got. You got to be wise with it, because it's going to leave you if you're not. The treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise. I've seen this through the years. You go to somebody's house, and you can look around the house and you can tell whether they're making it or not. I don't care how big a house it is. Used to be, paint contractor. I could look at them and tell where they're going. I'm going to have a rough time getting my money out of these. Because they, and about every time I caught one of them, he owed us, I don't know, about almost $3,000 labor and material. And I didn't make any profit off of it at all. I just paying my labor and paying my material. And I went by there. He'd been telling me he was in New Orleans. Couldn't get a check. He was in New Orleans, what his wife said. I smelled a rat, buddy. And I went by there one day, and I saw a sign on his front lawn. I went right straight to my lawyer. And I put a lien on that house. Mechanic's lien. Did it with my lawyer. And I got a call one day. This old boy, big contractor, going bankrupt. I knew he was before I ever heard he was. I could see it around the house. And I walked in that bank that morning. And Mr. Gum, we need you down here. Old Citizens Union Bank. Great big office. Table big as this whole room. Fancy table. And all them suits sitting around them tables. I had painter's coveralls on. Even had paint on me. Made sure it looked like that. I walked in there and big fancy secretary just ignored me. I just went over and sat down on this big old leather couch and got me a magazine. Finally, after a while, all these suits running in and out. And, sir, can I help you? I said, no, it's all right. They'll call for me in a minute. Pretty soon, one of them suits came out of there. Mr. Gum. I said, that's me. Sir, we need you in here now. I went in there, and I mean, they was all in it. I mean, IRS, bankers, real estate, all of them around there. The spokesman says, Mr. Gunn, how much is it going to take to get that lien released off this property? I said, what's it say down there? $2,963.52. I said, $2,953.52. That's how much it's going to take to get that lien off there. I ain't cutting a penny off of it. Guess who I beat? I beat IRS. They say you can't do it. I did it. You got to get it on there in time is what you got to do. You got to get ahead of the game. And I got it on there and ahead of time. And he starts making this check out and pass it to him. I said, is this thing any good? I said, yes, sir. I said, I'm going to go cash it right now. And I did. Never heard from him again. But I got my money. I knew he was going bankrupt. I knew he was. There wasn't no doubt in my mind. And all that stuff, he's in New Orleans. No, it wasn't New Orleans. Probably next door. But he couldn't talk to me. But there's treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spends it up. And see, that's what you do with your money when you get money. You kids need to learn this too. You get money in. Oh, I got to go spend it. Hey, I got to go spend it. What about saving it? Putting it with some more money. And putting it with some more money. And you keep on doing that. And when you get old enough to get a car, you might have the money enough to go buy your own car and not be bumming off everybody. Wouldn't that be something? I knew a fellow that did that. By the time he turned 21, he had 5 pieces of property. He bought them and paid for them. Be wise. Don't be an idiot. Money, it's to be used, but it's not to be spent foolish, like a foolish man. Now I think I got to quit. What am I, verse 21? I'll finish this next time. Let's all stand.